From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran. It is my privilege and joy to be on the airwaves once more, and I pray that God will bless us today as we come to consider His Word. We continue with our study in Hebrews chapter 11, and today we come to verse 27, where we read these words: By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. On two different occasions, Moses fled from Egypt. Therefore, there is a division of opinion as to which instance is in view in this verse, where it says that he forsook Egypt. In other words, our text refers either to the time when Moses was 40 years old, or to the time when he was 80 years old. When he was 40, he fled from Egypt to the land of Midian, and it became known that he had slain the Egyptian, who was ill-treating an Israelite. 40 years later, when he was an elderly man of 80, he again left Egypt, this time as leader of the entire congregation of Israel in their exodus from the house of bondage. Therefore, the key to determining which instance is in view in this verse is by noting the important point that he left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. His flight was not taken in fear, and therefore the time in view is identified. It is the second departure from Egypt that is in view in Hebrews 11:27, as we have proved for us in various ways. But just to say simply that when he was 40 years old, the first time he fled from Egypt, he did so in fear. Exodus 2 verse 14 says, Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. So at the age of 40, Moses first departed from Egypt, and he fled in fear. Therefore our text refers to the second departure when he reached the age of 80, for then he did not depart in fear. With this understanding of the historical order in view in these verses, it is very apparent that there is being presented to us the evidence of development in Moses' faith. As verses 24 to 26 so plainly show, when Moses was 40, he did possess true saving faith, a faith that was strong and vibrant, enabling him to sever his bonds with the past and identify himself with the Lord's afflicted people. It was at the age of 40 that by faith Moses renounced Egypt. But a maturing of that faith was still needed, for there was, among other things, a fear of the king present in his heart. Indeed, that incident recorded in Exodus 2 when he killed the Egyptian presents the proof that there was much that needed to be corrected in Moses' spiritual life. To be concise, it is evident that when Moses slew the Egyptian, he imagined that Israel's deliverance could be brought about in the power of the flesh or by human strength. His faith, therefore, was immature. He needed to learn the lesson and learn it thoroughly, that deliverance could only be obtained in God's way, at God's time, and indeed be rendered by God Himself. Therefore, we must see Moses' second 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, in the backside of the desert, as a period of spiritual training. There is no doubt that God took Moses aside for all that time to prepare him for the next 40 years, at the beginning of which he would lead Israel out of Egypt and take them through their journeys to the promised land. Therefore, it is not too much to see that when Moses led the flock of his father-in-law in the desert of Sinai, he was being prepared for that momentous task of leading God's flock to their desired place of rest. Above all, it is very evident that in the lonely desert regions, the Lord was nurturing Moses and strengthening his faith. He was producing in Moses a faith which would be bold and fearless, a faith that would not be afraid of the wrath of the cruel, arrogant, and wicked Pharaoh, a man who was determined to defy God and retain God's people in bondage. In the light of all this historical narrative and its significance, we are taught the important truth that fear in the life of the believer is overcome by faith. Moses, at the age of 80, faced a far more dangerous and terrifying situation than he had when he had been 40. But the testimony of Scripture is that by faith he did not fear. Let us consider some aspects of that subject of faith being victorious over fear. Now, to begin with, we need to notice that the plan of the enemy is to make God's people afraid. The language of this text and the historical narrative in Exodus show us that Pharaoh's goal was to strike fear into the heart of Moses, illustrating the point that the enemy of the church carries on a campaign of creating fear in the people of God in order to hinder their work for the Lord. Now, when we come to talk about fear, we need to understand some basic facts about it. There is a fear which is, of course, commendable and to be desired, the fear of God, which is inseparably associated with true salvation. It says in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in chapter 9 verse 10 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then there is an unhealthy, a servile fear that is associated with the devil, with the fall of man, and with sin. We find the first reference to fear in the words of Adam after he had fallen in Genesis 3 and verse 10. When he had disobeyed God and had fallen into sin, and the Lord came and spoke to him, he said, "I was afraid." Here is the first reference to fear in the Bible. And therefore we are shown that sin has brought into the heart of man a fear that is sinful itself, a fear that is spiritually unhealthy, a fear that is detrimental to the well-being of the soul, leaving its victims in terrible bondage. This fear came with the fall and is manipulated by the devil in various ways. For example, there is fear of the unseen world that is underlined, for example, by man's fear of death. We are told in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 that sinners are all their lifetime afraid of death. And man's basic fear of death and all that it involves is because death is an unknown entity, an unknown experience connected with the unseen and with the supernatural realm. We find in Scripture that fear seized some due to supernatural things taking place, as well as fear being associated with death. We read in Luke 2 verse 9, when the angels appeared in the plains of Bethlehem and sang the praises of the newborn Christ, that the shepherds were sore afraid. Here we're shown that the fall has produced in man a fear that makes him afraid in a perverted way. It causes him to think that the one who comes to save is going to destroy. We see an illustration of that in the case of the people in the country of Gadara, where the Lord cast the demons out of that poor man who was possessed. And we are told that when the others in that region saw what the Lord had done, they were afraid, and they besought the Lord to leave them and go from them. And there are many today who have this fear of the gospel, fear of Jesus Christ. When the gospel is presented, when It is brought even to their own doorstep. It seems as if there's a fear that seizes them, and they're afraid of the very message that is designed to save them. They're afraid of the very person who reaches out to them in mercy and in grace. But on the other hand, there's a fear that blinds people to the fact that the one who claims to be their friend is really their enemy. And of course I refer to the devil himself. The devil, the Bible tells us, poses as an angel of light, giving the impression of friendship, but in reality he is out to destroy. And therefore, let us notice that when we come to talk about this matter of fear, there is a fear of the unseen, the supernatural world. On one hand, it is a fear that is inexplicable and that man fears the invisible God in the sense that he runs from him, he hides from him, as Adam did in the garden, when all the time the Lord is the Lord of mercy and the Lord is the one who saves. And then, on the other hand, as we've noted, men do not fear Satan, who is out to destroy their souls and bring them down to everlasting destruction. There is fear, therefore, in this world. And we need to understand today that the only way that fear can be overcome is by focusing, as Moses did, on the invisible God. It tells us here in this verse, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He focused on the true God, the God who reveals himself in Scripture, the God who is able to save men from their sins. Moses came to know the true God. He came to rest in his word and in his promises. He came to understand that through the great provision of the Redeemer, he, Moses, could be saved from his sins. And therefore, resting in the promised Redeemer, he was saved from the morbid fear that sin brings into the heart. And that meant that when the time came for Moses to take a stand and lead Israel out of their bondage, he was enabled to do so because his fear was overcome. It says here, not fearing the wrath of the king. And I urge you this day to turn away from all in which you're trusting and rest in Christ alone as your Savior, and find the pardon and the forgiveness that you need. And then you'll be delivered from your fear. The psalmist says, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his fears. May you come to Christ today, and by faith alone rest in his atoning death, and his once and for all sacrifice, and know deliverance from fear, and from all that causes it, even the sin of a human heart. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.